League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call Cal Hope at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
All right!
You remember the class where I taught you all how to make it rain?
Make it rain.
Dollar, dollar bills, y'all.
All right, guys, here we go on a Monday. It is now January the 6th, 2020, and Wild Card Weekend is in the books. Now we get to set our sights on some divisional matchups coming up our way. We also have a bowl game somewhere mixed in there, I think. One tonight and, of course, one a week from tonight. Still got to get to that national championship. We've got more coaching change drama going on. Who, what, where, and how. Who's interviewing, who's not. All of that good stuff, of course. But this weekend was all about the NFL and the wild card. And they call it wild for a reason here, guys. And the opportunities to profit this weekend were galore, especially if you didn't mind going contrarian yesterday, because the upset of all upsets took place early Sunday afternoon, and it featured a guy that I guess he likes it.
Cousins throws, passes, caught for the win. Kyle Rudolph and the Vikings are moving on.
Yeah, and almost nobody gave them a chance to win this game there yesterday. Much less cover, much less win. It was quite the shocker to start a Sunday off as Kirk Cousins quietly goes into a very hostile environment there in New Orleans and takes down Drew Brees and company. Defense shows up. Zimmer shows up. Everything we were told this team couldn't do. Yep, they went out and did, and they did it damn well, too, against a New Orleans team that just every time they turned around, they had no answer for the running game. They had no answer for the wide receivers. They had absolutely, really, they could not get anything going against that defense. And anytime you can rush four and get to Drew Brees and cause all sorts of havoc, that's going to be a problem. So there is disappointments once again in the Bayou, but they should be used to this by now, because this is now the third playoffs where they've lost by at least one score. They've lost by a score. They lost back to back now in overtime, two times in last play of the game. They've become really good at letting their fans down in the playoffs, because they can't get the job done. We kept hearing about how Kirk Cousins couldn't get the job done. Yeah, no. You need to start looking at the Saints and realize, if it ain't the refs, it's this, it's that. Listen, guys, you just ain't getting the job done. Do you have the better team? Sure. Were you the better team yesterday? Absolutely not. They haven't been the better team in the playoffs in a while, and yet the markets continue to give them a little bit more credit than they deserve, Dane, which is why pretty profitable fading the New Orleans Saints in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was. Good morning, Joe. Good morning, degenerates here on Make It Rain. Let's cock-a-doodle do it. You know, I think it's interesting. And, you know, Kirk Cousins with the you like that and the post-game, you know, in the locker room, that was nice. You know, that was good for him to kind of get that monkey off his chest because there has been that narrative following him. And he played well. I got to tell you, though, Joe, for me, the biggest thing was having Dalvin Cook there, okay, and the kind of what they were able to do in the run game. He goes 28 carries for 94 yards, gets into the end zone twice, and you contrast that with the idea that the Saints were not able to run the ball at all. Kamara, 7 for 21, you know, not getting the yards. And I really do believe that even in this day and age of passing offenses and the spread, and everyone likes it as sexy, the threat of the run game is so important for what the defenses have to do and respect. It opens everything up. We see Lamar Jackson throwing a wide open wide receivers, you know. We saw what Kirk Cousins was not able to do without Dalvin Cook in a Monday night game against the Green Bay Packers, and we started lauding Preston and Za'Darius Smith. Kirk Cousins did his thing. Adam Thielen, with a return, playing well. But I really still believe, like with most teams, the linchpin is the ability to run the ball, and Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison were able to help that as well. This gives that team balance, and you got to think, if they could bring this, they may even have a puncher's chance out in the Bay next weekend.
Yeah, and defense wins championship, guys. It certainly wins in January. And for as sexy as it is to drop 50 points on a team, the truth is, I don't know how many times we got to be reminded of this, defense is what brings it. Because you can have, you know, you can have all the running that you want. Bottom line is all four games are within one score. But all four games went under the total. And you had two games go to overtime. And it's simply because the defenses dominate. They dominate. It's not, you're not playing Cincinnati. You're not playing the Dolphins. You're not playing the Giants. When you get to the playoff football in January, defense is what is going to get you to a Super Bowl game. And without it, you know, without that front being able to get to, without getting, be able to get into the face with only, not even having to blitz, but simply just four guys being able to get to Drew Brees caused all sorts of havoc. Kamara could not get anything done. It just, everything that these teams that won this weekend, you can always look back, and there were some great individual performances, of course, but it's the defense of those winning teams that kept them in it and gave them the opportunity to be able to be victorious. And kudos to Zimmer. That defense of his, missing a couple of guys in the secondary, it didn't much matter. Those guys came out to play. They had a plan. They executed it. And once again, Drew Brees and Sean Payton, yeah, you're more than a touchdown favorite. And again, you end up finding a way to lose a game that you probably should have won 9 times out of 10. But when it matters most, when are we going to start looking at this team and go, They're habitually letting their fans and letting themselves down because they can't get it done on the big stage.
Yeah, I mean, it's now 3 years in a row where they suffer a walk-off loss, you know, which is crazy. Two of them to the Minnesota Vikings, yep. You know, and Drew Brees isn't getting any younger and all that stuff as well. I got to ask you this, though. What do they do? And me and Cam and Scott Wetzel were talking about this. What do they do with their quarterback room next year, Joe, the Saints? I mean, because, you know, Drew Brees is fine, but Taysom Hill is kind of a revelation, Joe. Taysom Hill can kind of do anything, but how do you treat it? If you bring Teddy Bridgewater back, then what role does Hill have? If Hill is actually your quarterback, then you ain't paying Teddy Bridgewater. They got to figure out.
It's all going to depend on what Drew Brees decides to do. They're still attached to Drew, unlike New England with Tom Brady, who I think is done. But we'll talk more about that next on The Grid.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the Daily Roto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using Daily Roto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
What's up? I'm Laura Carenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. We're the co-hosts of Adlandia, the advertising industry's most thought-provoking podcast.
We are here with Lisa Bradner, GM of Analytics, and Teddy Jaudi, Head of Product from Yieldmo.
So we're here to talk with Lisa and Teddy about making attention actionable. Let's start from the top. What is Yieldmo?
Yieldmo is a next-generation marketplace powered by attention analytics, superior formats, and real-time data. We were really trying to say, how do we connect this ecosystem and make everything flow? I like to step back and say, all right, great, we've built the infrastructure, but let's talk about what we're putting through those pipes.
That's what we try to do at Yieldmo. Is we try to, you know, there's great technology out there. You can buy ads and serve them anywhere, but what is actually making an impact? And we focus on trying to allow marketers to see that.
Always have to be listening for that surprise signal that signals an opportunity you may not be thinking about. And our agile data structure allows our brands to work with us to do just that.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Adlandia Podcasts and listen to Adlandia on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go. Wild card weekend in the books here. And, of course, drama surrounding the NFL. It's always fun as we come walking away with a couple of underdogs, a couple of number six seeds advancing here in the playoffs. And we have an actual opportunity for the first time, I think, ever, where we might actually have a number 5-6 matchup here in a divisional title game, which is kind of crazy to think. But that's the reality of the situation here. Anybody can win. And it was a very good reminder yesterday to folks to remember that. And we tried explaining this all week long. Whatever it is that you watched for 17 weeks, it's great. But quite honestly, it means absolutely nothing going into wild card weekend, where defenses usually win the battle, lower scoring games, a lot tighter games, and without really any of those super teams in wild card weekend, every one of those games outside of the New Orleans Minnesota game was all within a score. I mean, all of them, all four games within one score. All four games also, anywhere from a pick 'em to as high as, well, at least during the week eight, but we also told you yesterday on Pro Football Today that there was a boatload of money that came in on Minnesota just before kickoff here, and which pushed that line down to just a touchdown in a lot of different places. So there was, all of those games were expected to be close. Not so much what you've got coming up this week, certainly in the AFC, and we'll give you the look ahead lines here. But we've also got to stop this thing in the NFL, and as fans, guys, we got to stop looking for reasons to point the fingers at the refs. I mean, we get it. They make mistakes. We get it. You know, I understand what's going on. But, you know, some are more egregious than others. But we got to stop watching 60 minutes of football and think that everything comes down to one flag that may or may not have, influenced the game, because there's so much going on to a game that there's a million things you can point to as to why a team will win or lose. But we got to stop taking the low-hanging fruit here and acting as if somehow or another Kyle Rudolph pushing off in the end zone when he was being hand-checked the entire time is somehow the reason why they lost. And that's not the reason. The reason is you had P.J. Williams on the field. That was your cornerback. And he's 5'8" going up against a 6'4" Kyle Rudolph. There's a million different things you can point to in that game. By the time you end up getting to that play and the possible push off, if you are begging for replay to change something, then you've probably already lost the game, Dane.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's absolutely true. Remember, at this point, about exactly a year ago, Joe, when we started doing Make It Rain and this happened in the NFC Championship, my original take at that point in time was we shouldn't have this be replayable because this will open up Pandora's box. And I said it then, like, you'll be able to find something on every play. I said, there's holding on every play. This will be such a subjective thing that it would be a problem. I said it then, I'll say it again now. Right? Because it becomes subjective. And then this happened all season long with DPI and even trying to replay things to generate offensive pass interference. It was a very slippery slope, and it'll only open the door for exactly this. Fan bases, coaching staffs, players to be able to bitch because it is subjective. This was the exact Pandora's box I was worried about opening 12 months ago. All right.
Yeah.
The funny part to me, Joe, is that Sean Payton could bitch about something else if he wanted to. The idea now, you know, we've talked a lot of times about how in overtime should both teams get the ball. And I think that is going to be kind of a narrative. Remember when Brett Favre in overtime of an NFC Championship game and they only kicked the field goal and then there was the rule, oh, if they kick the field goal, the other team gets the ball back. Now in last year's NFC Championship game, there was the pass interference and the NFL evolves to add something. I truly wonder, because it was a guy like Drew Brees who's left on the sideline, I wonder if this is a new horizon, Joe, of things to worry about the refs and worry about the rules instead of the play on the field, the idea that both teams need to possess the ball in overtime. It's always something, but to me, Joe, this is the NFL being reactionary and creating more opportunities for people to bitch and moan as opposed to worrying about just the play on the field.
Well, it's become too easy is the problem. And, you know, listen, the overtime rules are the overtime rules, and, you know, hell, we've had a couple of ties over the last couple of years. So the reality is
they have changed the overtime rules, though, because of things that happened in the playoffs.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't mind it. I don't mind it because nobody wants to lose because a guy hits a 52-yard field goal and you never had a chance to get the ball. I get it. But
okay,
still got to play defense in the NFL. You know, keep them out of the damn end zone and you give your offense a shot at actually winning the game. So I got no problem with that. But this, every time a flag is thrown or not thrown, instead of looking at it and going, Drew Brees sucked. Sean Payton at the end of that game sucked. The play calling was terrible in parts of that game. You've got your automatic kicker with an opportunity going to halftime with a tie game. Shanks a 33-yard. I mean, you can go down the list, and it's just way too easy to look at a play and go, oh, it's Kyle Rudolph and they got screwed once again. No, they didn't get screwed. They screwed themselves once again because when they had opportunities in that game, they didn't take advantage of it. And oh, yeah, by the way, give the guy credit who exposed you like we said he would. The opportunities to beat New Orleans in the center of the field, right down the center, guys, with that secondary. They beat you not once, not twice, a half a dozen times in that game. They ended up beating you in exactly the same spot. And they didn't adjust. So don't talk to me about Jadeveon Clowney in the Seattle game, you know, trying. How is that not a flag? Well, listen, it's not a flag. They didn't throw a flag. It sucks. But that's a part of the game. That is not the reason why they lost. You lost because you had absolutely nobody left on the field and you had to bring in a 40-year-old high school coach to try and save your season. So it's so easy. Let's not be that way. Let's give credit, especially in the wild card round. Can we give credit where credit is due? Seattle made plays. DK Metcalf made enough plays to be able to win. You just weren't the better team. It has nothing to do with the refs, Dane. Nothing.
No, I hear you, and I agree, Joe. You know, and this is the thing when you broaden what can be replayed, right?
Yeah.
What you do is continue to open the door wider and wider for, and maybe I'm going overboard, for millennials, right, to be like, oh, it wasn't my fault. Look, you know, and put the blame somewhere else. Like, oh, there should have been a foul here. Or, oh, this should have happened, as opposed to, like you're saying, what happened on the field. You know,
yeah.
The Minnesota Vikings were the better team yesterday, and they deserve to win. You know what I mean? Whether it was because of, like you're saying, Cousins exposing them over the middle, or like I'm saying, you know, the value of Dalvin Cook being able to run the ball, or like we're saying, their defense being able to kind of shut down a running game on the other side. All of these are things that happen on the field, and that's what should be given the praise or the blame, not the idea of if a ref missed a call or, you know, one of those trying to put the blame somewhere else. And that's unfortunately what has been coming to pass with the end of the Saints season for the last couple of years. Joe, I agree with you. It's about what happens on the field, right? And, you know, there were a lot of reasons here that Minnesota was the better team on the field. And I thought from a year ago that it was a very slippery slope, adding to what could be replayed, because it just, you know, gave people that ability to cry and moan for excuses.
Yeah, and listen, a couple of things died along with the Eagles and the Saints season yesterday. Number one, the narrative of somehow or another, Mike Zimmer going to the Cowboys as a head coach. I we can all stop with that now, guys. All right, that's not happening. We can also stop with the simple fact that Kirk Cousins is no longer a guy that can be trusted in a big spot. That dies yesterday. So finally, some of the crap and the noise that that the media loves to harp on, at least we can put those narratives to bed now and focus on a couple of really good football games coming up this weekend. Really good football game.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
These days, it feels like we're on 24/7. Between work, friends, family, and a million things piling up left and right, the nonstop hustle has taken over. And it's kind of a lot. Sure, Rise and Grind is all fine and dandy, but sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as refreshing and crisp as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. So when you want to hit reset, reach for Coors Light, the only beer that is mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light in their new look, delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
So, Donald, I may have indulged a bit too much in the month of December. My energy's been lagging. My belt is definitely on its last notch from all of the eating.
Well, the holidays can do that to you, buddy. It makes you reach for quick fixes that have rough and lasting effects on your gut. Good thing we have GT Synergy Raw Kombucha to get your gut back on track.
That's right. It's those billions of probiotics that whip the gut back into balance. And those are naturally occurring probiotics, not the added fake kind.
Yeah. Well, GTs are naturally occurring because it's raw and fully fermented for 30 days.
No kidding. Just talking about it makes me want to grab a trilogy flavor right now.
When you drink a kombucha, it means you love your guts. Because a healthy gut can help with less bloating, digestion support, boosted immunity, better mood, improved skin, and just your overall health. I've been drinking GT's Gingerberry since the new year to introduce more good bacteria to my system. GT himself told me that kombucha is its most potent and beneficial on an empty stomach.
Man, do I love GTs. I usually drink it in the afternoon to give me a little pick-me-up and treat myself.
Drink GT Synergy to show your gut that you love them. Better health is as simple as making a few small changes, and incorporating GTs is an easy one.
You can learn more about GTs at gtslivingfoods.com/loveyourguts and pick up a bottle at your local grocery store in the refrigerated section.
I want to invite you to find us on YouTube at the Sports Grid Network. You can just hit that little bell in the upper right-hand corner. Never miss an episode. Get all the fantasy and sports wagering advice you need all the time in one spot on YouTube at the Sports Grid Network. Plus, tail us on Twitter. Not Twitter. Well, you can do it on Twitter, but you can also do it on Instagram at Sports Grid TV. Both will work there, Twitter and Instagram. And do not forget here, we got a bowl game tonight still. We got one more bowl game for the national championship. We got nine NBA games on tap here. We got 16 college hoops games. We got four NHL games. And oh, yeah, now might be the perfect time for you to be able to go ahead and put your money where your mouth is. And if you want to get in it, simply head over to FanDuel. It is Jersey's largest sports book, after all. If you go to FanDuel.com/grid, you can receive a free bet of up to $500 right now. That's a free bet, $500, simply by opening a sports wagering account at FanDuel.com/grid. You'll have point spreads, game totals, props, parlays, in-game wagering, whether it be college or pro sports. You are definitely in control. Head over to FanDuel.com/grid. Open that new account and claim your free wager of up to $500 today. Now, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is 21 and over, New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Make sure you check out the website for details. And I will say another thing, too, about that final play in the Minnesota game yesterday. I got to look at the coaching staff and say everybody and their mother knew on the third down play when you lined up that you had one-on-one coverage with a 6'5", 6'6" tight end out on the outside alone with your defensive back who's 5'8" and PJ Williams. Everybody saw the mismatch, and you didn't call timeout. Like, you did not sit there and just go, wow, they're going to, because everybody knew the ball was going to be thrown for a jump ball in the corner. It made the most sense. We get it. So you don't actually go, wait a minute, guys, we're, you know, it's a mismatch here, guys. We got to, let's hold on. Let's throw a nickel in there. Let's do something other than that and allow them to get the free jump ball. Sometimes I don't understand. I think we get way ahead of ourselves here in the blame game. But to me, I look at Sean Payton and go, call timeout, dude. You got, what is the, if the game is on the line. So if you at least give yourself the best shot or at least huddle up the defense and say, guys, here's what's going to happen if we got him on the outside. Come up with something other than leaving PJ Williams, one of your worst defensive backs, one of your smallest defensive backs, on the tallest dude on the field right there on the offense. Like, I none of it made any sense to me, Dane.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I feel like it's easy to say some of those things with access to the results, right? Because let's say they did something like that. Who knows if Minnesota does a different kind of play? Maybe then they get, if you're devoting more resources to the outside, maybe they gash you with Dalvin Cook up the middle. You know, maybe they maybe then you do a quick out to Diggs or something, right? But the fact remains that they didn't get it done. You know, they didn't get it done. There was a matchup. Cousins identified the matchup. He threw the jump ball. Rudolph made a good play. You could say he pushed off. You could say it was normal hand fighting. They made the play, you know, and I mean, you can, I feel like you can almost on any successful play in the NFL be like, why didn't they instead do this? You know, but this was, you're right, a crunch time kind of thing. And it, you saw the matchup and that's where they went. But that's part of what quarterbacks do. You know, Joe, that's what they do is look for the mismatch, kill, 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 call the hot route, have hand signals. He found the matchup. They delivered the ball. Rudolph made the play.
It's also why you have timeouts. And if you're a coach and see that big a mismatch on the outside, knowing there is no tomorrow, knowing there is, why give them a free shot at a play that you already know and you can see from the booth and every place else? Why not call timeout and regroup and say, and come up with something, anything, and say, listen, here's what we're going to do. That's why you pay coaches. That's why you have timeouts and overtime, because the alternative is you're going home. So why not give yourself, why the fact that you have two timeouts and you didn't use them, congratulations. What the hell were you waiting for? That seemed to me to be the perfect time. There was nobody else on the outside except him. And you had one defensive back who was 5'8". Like, what the hell did you think they were going to do? Like, it was even they said it on the tele. Like, he's going to go outside to Kyle Rudolph for a jump ball. Look at this. He's on the outside. If the announcers hear it and see it, like, what are you waiting for at that particular point? The whole, you want to keep your timeouts? All right, congratulations. You know, at least call a timeout, regroup, and try to come up with something in case that happens again. But call me crazy. The results are not the point. The results are an after effect. But you saw what was in front of you. Everybody did. And you didn't do anything to stop it. You just let the play run and hope a dude 5'8 was going to outjump Kyle Rudolph, a former All-American high school basketball player. Like, what the? It was, and kudos for Zimmer for calling a play, and kudos for the offense.
So that's what I was
going to
say also, right? How much of that is then credit to the offensive scheme? Because teams are trying to scheme to get that matchup also, right? Teams all the time, Joe, will have, like, say, trips on one side, right? Mm-hmm. And then the guy they really like, because it creates a one-on-one matchup, at the top by themselves, at the bottom of the screen by themselves, you know? So absolutely right. You know, I just wonder, what side do we look at it from? You know, is it glass half empty? Are we blaming the losing team? Or is it credit to the winning team? You know, like, hey, maybe that was a good design and scheme to get that matchup, you know? And I don't know all the details of everything every coordinator was thinking, but you're right. There was a bad matchup there, so that was a knock on the defense for allowing that matchup, but it's also a credit to the offense for creating that matchup, right? And you say a lot, Joe, that it wasn't just that one play, and there's matchups that are exploited on every play. This is incredibly magnified, because you're right. If they score, it's a walk-off, game over, season over, see you in the summertime for training camp. Absolutely. I just wonder, do we over-magnify it because of this? You're right. They could have done something. They didn't. Good scheme, touchdown, game over.
Oh, no, execution is execution, but give your guys a chance to succeed. I mean, that's the whole point of what, especially since you've been there and done that million times already, it feels like, in the playoffs. You get beat on the last play because why? Yeah. Because the other team out-schemed you, or because you didn't bother to say, hey, you know what? Here's timeout. Hold on, guys. That's the whole point. We see it, in the second quarter of games where they're like, oh, crap, we don't get the right personnel on the field. There was one dude, there was one wide receiver, one guy out far, and it was Kyle Rudolph, and nothing from them. So,
I hear you.
And
so
I will say, too, there were two injuries yesterday, too, that loomed large in both of those games. Obviously, Carson Wentz in the first quarter for Philadelphia was pretty much, it sealed the deal for them there. And nothing against, McNown, but you're a 40-year-old high school coach. You were coaching high school football.
He was by the end also.
Credit for toughing it out, but, the game was over at that particular point. But also, Marshawn Lattimore not being on the field and available in overtime. Because Lattimore, I can tell you right now, Lattimore's the guy that goes on the outside and covers Kyle Rudolph in that spot. So it just,
talked about
that
Janoris
injury,
Jenkins being there.
He wasn't on the field when they completed the pass, by the way, to get to the goal line. So those two injuries were huge yesterday for those two losing teams.
You know, Joe, and because you're talking a little bit about, you're talking about both NFC games, right? And so you mentioned in some of the Seattle-Philly game. And your point about the mismatch on the outside. I want to make a comparison with something we saw in the Seattle-Philly game. And Collinsworth was huge explaining this. It was when Russell Wilson was scrambling, making plays like on 3rd and 18. He ran for 19 late in the game, right? Then in the next series of downs, the Eagles brought Malcolm Jenkins down as a safety to be a spy on Russell Wilson, right? That's the defense adjusting to what they saw, what you're talking about, right? But then Russell Wilson just exploited it in a different way, extending the play and have it hitting the receiver right in the middle, right over where Jenkins would have been as the spy. So I bring that up to say, like, yeah, obviously there's coaching and scheme, but sometimes the players are just also exploiting the matchup. And Russell Wilson in that scenario created kind of a pick your poison. Right now with the Rudolph play, it looked like a matchup, a mismatch on the outside. You mentioned it. PJ Williams is like 5'9". Okay. What I don't know is if they adjusted to something else, does Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, the Minnesota Vikings have the answer? Like we saw Russell Wilson adjust when Seattle tried to account for that. It's a back and forth chess game. The only problem is what we're talking about right now, that play just happened to be checkmate.
Well, but again, it's about giving your guys a chance to succeed. And when you're talking about one play and your season's over versus the chess match during a game where, yeah, both teams are going to make adjustments and try to exploit. But when you listen, if you want to change the play and hand it off to Dalvin Cook and he runs up the gut, at least you got your goal line defense in there. At least you have a chance. May the best man win.
Sure.
You were never going to win that jump ball. I don't care. Push off. No point. You were 99 out of 100 times you're not winning that. And all I'm saying is, give yourself at least a shot for the guy to be able to succeed. If they beat you because the offensive line pushes your defensive line over, hey, it is what it is, but at least you had guys in a position to succeed. If they don't do it, they don't do it. But as a coach in overtime with no tomorrow, at least call the damn timeout when you see that big a disadvantage. It wasn't scheme. They just put one dude out there and you put a dude that was, you know, 9 inches shorter and said, okay, what the hell did you think was going to happen? Like, honestly, that's shocking to me.
It is, and Joe, I am not disagreeing with you. All I wonder is, right, it's easier to say that with access to the results, you know, and there's a lot of other things that, who knows, other things that the defenses were worried about, were looking at, and were trying to take away.
Cousins has got to make the throw. He's got to make the catch, but that's not the point. The point is, they had the advantage. You saw it, and you didn't do it. You had the ability to say, time out, guys. Hold on. You know what I mean? And
They didn't do it.
Yeah. You know, congratulations, but give your guys a shot. You know, that's all I'm saying.
That, I hear you.
He did a lot of that in the fourth quarter yesterday.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Hi, this is Bowen Yang here, and if you're as excited as I am about the upcoming fourth season of Search Party on HBO Max, then you'll want to tune in to Search Party, the podcast. I'm sitting down with the creators and stars of the dark comedy to delve deeper into the disturbing world inhabited by Dory, Drew, Elliot, and Portia. And to help us discuss Search Party's most prominent themes, we're inviting a very special celebrity fan to join each chat. Folks like Paul Scheer, Vanessa Bayer, Busy Phillips, Taryn Killam, and Kerry Brownstein, among many others. I couldn't be more excited to talk with these folks about one of my favorite shows on TV. So join us as we review classic moments, share behind-the-scenes anecdotes, and analyze the complex characters and unpredictable plot lines that make the series oh so much fun. Search Party Season 4 comes to HBO Max on January 14th. Meanwhile, be sure to subscribe to Search Party, the podcast, which premieres December 14th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
Another thing I was wondering yesterday was, Nate Sudfeld available? Did he ever? I know he was knocked out early, and they obviously didn't have a choice early in the season to go and get a 40-year-old, you know, high school football coach. I'm just curious, did he ever get better, or did they just leave him off the roster?
I don't think he was on the roster, Joe. There were a few times late in the game, Joe, where it was obvious that McCown was, you know, had a little hitch in his giddy up, shall we say?
Yep.
And they alluded to the fact that if McCown got hurt, they would have to go to Greg Ward, the wide receiver. He used to be the quarterback for Houston, okay, and was a spread guy, you know. And they said that a few times, that if McCown went down, it would be Ward that was the emergency quarterback. So that makes me think Sudfeld was not, you know, on the 53.
Oh, I know. I don't think he was on the roster, but I'm wondering if
Did he get
I mean, was he available to come back at some point this year and they just stuck with
McCown? Like IR to return kind of thing?
Right. You know what I mean? Because the injury, if I'm remembering, it happened in preseason. It wasn't anything that they were saying. Yeah, like they never put him on IR right away because there was always the thought. So I'm like, was he just not, or did they make the choice that because we're so banged up, we need a player and so they kept him off the roster kind of thing? But you know, you left your whole season was, you know, it was pretty much a microcosm of what happened with Cards. I mean, once they lost Carson Wentz in the first quarter, it was over, guys. They weren't winning with Josh McCown.
Miles Sanders was on the floor at the end of the first half. Josh McCown got banged.
No.
I mean, it was
not happening.
I think the time where I actually felt bad for them, Joe. Yeah. At one point, because they kept it as a game. You know,
they
legitimately had a shot. I was almost like, maybe they should kick the field goal to go to 17-12 and have a damn shot to win. It was impressive that they still had a chance. I was finding myself growing in like fandom from Philly because I wanted them to pull it off because they were so banged up.
Tough. I mean, defense held them to 19 rushing yards. I mean, they did everything they could. They just, you can't keep tying without your stud quarterback, without Carson Wentz, the guy that carried the team for the last month and a half of the season. You weren't winning it. You know, Josh, I give him all the credit of the world. It looked like his hamstrings were tightening up. I mean, the poor dude looked like by the end there was just, you know, holes weren't there longer than he thought were going to be. I give him credit, man. The guy was he exactly what Philadelphia stood for. He was out there. He'd have laid it on. He laid it on the line for him. And I know they love him for it, but that's why I was curious. Like, did they opt to stick with the 40-year-old on the roster as opposed to Sudfeld, who was going to be the clear number two in preseason?
I don't know that they ever activated him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe that injury was way worse, but I don't ever remember hearing anything about him. Like, what in the hell? Where was Nate? So, but you're right. If you got to go to Greg Ward as your emergency,
he was not available yesterday. We'll say that because here's the thing. Honestly, if Nate Sudfeld's available, he's ahead of Josh.
You don't leave him off the roster, right? I mean, you don't.
Ahead of Josh McCown on the depth chart if he's available. You know, so it was obviously something. He was maybe put on IR after that wrist injury.
Yeah. Well, now, listen, I mean, here we go. Now we've got everything is set up.
And somehow Nick Foles' value increases even more in Philadelphia after this loss.
Yeah, but listen, Nick Foles wasn't thrown to, you know, Greg Ward and others there. He wasn't thrown to practice players. So he did have an opportunity there for the ability to be able to at least have some star players around him. And really, you know, Seattle did what they had to do, go on the road, they win, congratulations. Let us not forget, this is still one very banged up Seattle Seahawks team. Now, will they get anybody back this week? Hopefully on the offensive line, because that's really going to be the biggest problem. DJ Metcalf announces himself to the league. Welcome in. I know there are a bunch of Philadelphia fans that were really pissed off because they just watched the guy they could have drafted, only they went with J.J. Whiteside, I believe. Yeah, and they passed over DJ Metcalf, who just seems to be – he reminds me a lot of that remember that guy along the what was it, from Ohio State, was it? David Boston. You remember the size? Yeah. The physical – where he was just bigger than everybody else.
He used to wear the hat shirt.
It was a building. But you know, it never really translated into the NFL for him. He also got hurt a lot, but – he was just a man among boys out there is what he looked like. It was like, Jesus, dude. And he made plays. If they can continue that, you may not need a running game, because what in the hell are you going to do, Green Bay, to cover that? Who do you have that's going to cover that dude one-on-one?
Well, Jair Alexander may be the answer to that, and Amos over the top. But, you know, with DK Metcalf, the thing is, Joe, coming into after college, he was supposed to be one of those quote unquote raw prospects, right?
Right.
The musculature, the size, the speed, impressing at the combine. But it was thought that he was so raw that route running wasn't there. But he has grown, and he even said it after the game. The fact that he fell to the second round gave him this chip on his shoulder, made him want to get better. And the development is there. Joe, can you? You know who the other wide receiver was at Ole Miss last year, opposite DK Metcalf, right?
Yeah. Where's he
now? AJ Brown on the Titans. Yeah. These guys were both wide receivers on Ole Miss. It's almost like Odell and Jarvis Landry at LSU. You know what I mean?
They only won eight games.
On one side, and you have AJ Brown on the other, and these guys are both announcing themselves as high-end wide receivers that people need to consider, say, in fantasy drafts higher next year. But yeah, DK Metcalf balled out. And what about Joe Pete Carroll having trust to put the ball in Russell Wilson's hands on third down when the logic says you run the ball to run out the clock or burn the last time out? He's like, nah, I trust Russell. He'll know to not do something stupid. He'll either, you know, go down and the clock will run. He won't throw it. He won't throw an interception. And he throws the perfect ball, sees the zero coverage, sees the blitz, throws it up for his, you know, 6'4", incredible Hulk, and they make the play. Yes, DK Metcalf's evolution is big. You know, I said I liked him yesterday morning. But the fact that they trust Russell Wilson so much and he always makes the quote-unquote right play is what keeps Seattle alive.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. It's that kind of combination of – it's really the one thing that Russell Wilson has really missed, right? It's the one thing that he's never had, and not taking anything away from, you know, the wide receivers that he's had in the past, but that kind of target and that kind of guy out there that can win that one-on-one and just out physical you, that's a dangerous combination with Russell Wilson, because, you know, Russell Wilson, he's at best when he's running around and everything breaks down. That's a dude, like, forget it. Like, that guy gets a step on you. Not only is he faster than you, but the minute he throws it up, he's going to out-jump you. I mean, that play, Paul, you know, give Schottenheimer credit. I hate Brian Schottenheimer. I can't stand him. But that play call to end the game with throwing the ball up there was – that's what I'm – that's – you're playing to win. You're not playing to lose. And, you know, third down, throw it up, because let's be realistic. The best player in that game at that – you gave it to your best player to make a play, who had made so many plays prior in that game. At least you recognize it. You didn't try to go Marshawn Lynch, right? You didn't you got the ball in the hands of the dude who was the best player for your team yesterday by far. And he made a play, which he had been doing, but kudos to them for having the nads to actually call that play.
And I'll even go further, Joe. Yes, they made that play. I say the best player that put the ball in the hands of was Russell Wilson. Okay, well, because I also believe that if it wasn't there, Russell Wilson would have done the smart thing. And even, to be honest, taking the sack would have been the smart thing. Because then the clock would have kept on running. And so, yes, DK Metcalf made the play and showed why he was amazing at the combine. You know, Joe, you remember when DK Metcalf had his meeting with Seattle and he walked in there without his shirt and Pete Carroll then took his shirt off? Remember that? Absolutely. But to me, it's the faith, the trust, the processing, the mind of Russell Wilson that was really a linchpin for that one as well. And you're right, Joe. You know, they've had Lockett, but he's been a smaller kind of guy. The Seahawks have been trying to address that need for a long time. Remember, they brought in Jimmy Graham to be that kind of red zone big body at one point. They flirted with Terrell Owens to be a big-bodied wide receiver at one point. They brought in Josh Gordon to be that kind of threat even. The Seattle Seahawks have been looking for that kind of element to their offense for a long time, and that's why they drafted DK Metcalf.
Yeah, and it's also interesting that the tight end that the Patriots didn't need found an opportunity to play for the Seahawks too, and make amazing to me that Belichick and company, you know, felt the need to actually trade the only tight end that they had, because Lord knows they couldn't have used him on Saturday night. But they've quietly put together some young guys surrounding Russell Wilson who are really starting to come into their own. If that offensive line can get healthy this week and they get Brown back and they can go ahead and do some things, it looks like Clowney, you know, after the game, no major damage done there, which is great, you know. So slowly they're giving themselves an opportunity. And again, them on the road this year has just been ridiculous. They're better on the road. Who the hell? But the idea that we could actually have a 5-6 in Seattle for a, you know, that's a possibility. That's a real possibility. You could have Minnesota traveling to Seattle to take them on in the NFC Championship game, which would just be absolutely wild.
That is interesting. And, you know, it speaks though, Joe, to the fact that we thought this going in. Remember what we were saying in December, how stacked the NFC was, right? How many teams there were that were like 12 wins or more, you know? And what do you know, right? We talked about this going in. The Seattle Seahawks could have very easily been the one seed, right? And they're still alive. The Minnesota Vikings were a double-digit winning team, and we were talking about how the quality of the wild card teams in the NFC. So while it's surprising to look at those numbers, oh my goodness, 5-6 got through, when we talk about who those teams were, we knew all season long that those were good teams.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I like their matchups next week, though.
Yeah, well, listen, everything
we'll talk
is
about that throughout the week.
Yeah, I mean, matchups is key, but you know, they're starting to emerge with some guys like Hollister, like like Metcalf, guys that, you know, they played, they might have been there. It gives the opposing team now a little something else to worry about, because listen, to this point, Metcalf had just been, he had lived to that ton of potential. We don't know when he's going to get there, and boom, now all of a sudden he's on the scene. Like, so now you've got a problem, Green Bay, because now he's not just potential, he's a game changer here. So, and he's got a game changer coming in with confidence, which, yeah, now all of a sudden that's a little bit different ball game. So unintended consequences of some of these games is, maybe you thought one thing prior to yesterday, but coming out, you're like, all right, so Marshawn Lynch inside the 5-yard line, he's still getting yards, Dane, like it's 5 years ago. Contract. So even catching balls out of the backfield. So quietly now they've started to get it rolling. And when you have that dude under center, Seattle gives you a shot every time they hit the field now. So I couldn't have said enough things about it. I thought the defense played much better than I thought they were going to play. I thought they balled out as well.
They were facing Josh McCown. Let's not forget about that.
Right. Yeah, but even still, I mean, you got to make some plays there.
Sure.
And
Clowney
made some plays.
Like Khalil Mack last year, the guy traded for late. Huge impact.
Make some plays, dude. Yep, gotta make them.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
When markets change, leaders must reinvent. We all know that's more important than ever. Sales Disruptors is a brand new podcast from Exactly, the global leader in helping businesses reinvent the way they manage sales. Join us for candid conversations with global business leaders on how to thrive no matter what the market throws at you. Sales Disruptors. Download today on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. What do we mean by sales disruptors? Well, it's today's business leaders sharing their experience on how they manage through change, like...
So this is a great opportunity to sharpen your tools. In a down market where you're not making a lot of big changes, there's an opportunity to go back and clean up things that need attention. Everything has wear and tear, so there's a great opportunity to go back and get caught up.
Tune in to Sales Disruptors, an Exactly podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Going to be one hell of a week here leading up to these divisional matchups now on Saturday and Sunday, and of course it's all set here, guys, so get ready. You're going to have and I'm sure John Harbaugh would have told you that he would much rather have had New England win that game. And oh, yeah. He would much rather be facing New England than this bulldozer than Derrick Henry right now, and a team that is believing on the flat out balled out. Now, also keep in mind, Baltimore not great at home, guys. It's not like they have. It's not like what Foxborough was for New England. They're 4-4 on the year. It'll be 19 days, I believe, by the time that game goes off, in which Baltimore Ravens starters will have played, because most all of them sat in that final game. So it's going to be a while since they've also played. And, you know, you've got a team like Tennessee that comes in there, which may be the best answer for Lamar Jackson is
right.
Derrick Henry, possession. Guys. Maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe it's Derrick Henry. So it's an interesting matchup, but I can say this. And we talked about it on Pro Football Today yesterday. The line opened up at 10, and I said, listen, if you're going to take Tennessee, now's the time to do it, because there's going to be some buyback on a double digit in this spot. Right. It's going to happen. So sure enough, it's come back now. I'm seeing nines and a halves. It'll probably fluctuate between there, but I don't think the books aren't going to leave out double digits at this point because of Derrick Henry and because of what he's capable of. And not to mention, you just don't know what you're going to get from a team who's 19 days since they last played a game. So there are some question marks there. And then as far as, Kansas City goes, it opened up at 7.5, and it's already 9.5. So Andy Reid coming off a bye, Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. But are we not giving them enough credit?
Well, we can talk about it.
I think so.
But
betting public,
yeah, you know I got some takes. You know I got some takes.
The total too is an interesting number to keep an eye on.
49 right now.
We'll do that coming up as well.
At CarMax, we're pretty flexible with how you can buy a car. If you'd rather scroll through 50,000 cars instead of walking the lot, go for it. If you want to see how a car smells on the lot before you buy it, by all means. Hey, we all have our things. Want the whole thing to come to you without ever leaving home? Buy online. Compare how the speakers sound when playing your favorite mix. Yep, visit our lot. And if you want to browse a little on the lot and in select markets have it delivered at home, we're certainly not stopping you. CarMax, the way it should be.
Are you a Henry? It stands for High Earner, Not Rich Yet.
It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/best bets.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.